from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. Well, you're not hearing this at the beginning of the new year. This is my first intro recording of 2020. And if I had 2020 vision, I would tell you that you could make every year New Year's Day, really. You could start fresh whenever you want. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, and I could talk about it forever and ramble and say, well, you know, here's a thought about New Year's. But I'll save that for the intro, because that's what I do. And then later in the episode, when I talk about other stuff, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And I wanted to thank Joan, who supported Feels. Joan really loved the delivery and the packaging and the presentation. shared with me some pics on Instagram. So thank you, Joan, for supporting Feels. The Sleepy Supporter Zone is a little bit more higher paced part of the show at the beginning because I'm so excited about the listeners who go out of their way to support the sponsors so we could keep this podcast free for everybody. So if you're like, Scoots, you know, let me go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors and let me check out Feels. Let me check out KiwiCo, Grove, and then just tag the sponsor when you support them. You know, share a picture or something with them and me. Let them know how you heard about them. And then I could try to thank you in the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Joan. Keeping the podcast free for everybody. And now it is time to start slowing it down. Now, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. You and some other people, who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby song.
Making a podcast,
writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song of the day.
And you can find it.
Just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. It's a great way to find me. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. I don't know what word I almost... We do it with a bedtime story. I think I just slipped on with. That could be part of the intro. We do it with a bedtime story. I guess because usually I say it fast, we do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, or, you know, running through your brain. They could be past, present, or future ones. They could be, you know, they don't have to be running. But usually, they could be fidgeting, too. They're usually doing stuff to get your attention. Thoughts, feelings, you know, any emotions that are coming up. Or, you know, remnants of the day. Or physical sensations. It could be changes in time or temperature or schedule. All those things impact me. Holy moly. That temperature, you know, that's one thing that definitely throws me off. Or, you know, and travel. Don't mix temperature and travel. They seem to go together. Because here's the thing. Here's a truism I've never said before. Wherever you travel, there's temperature. It could be any kind of temperature. That part's not on the cross stitch, but the cross stitch would be wherever you travel, there's temperature. You can find it at 99-cent stores and clearance centers near you in the future. The rest of it would be because, you know, every place has a certain temperature. It may be different than the temperature you're used to. And more than likely, it's probably not your ideal temperature. And you may be traveling and then you say, well, I don't have the rights to the thingamajig that you press to change it. You know, or you say, well, you know, like you say, well, we're, you know, if you're sharing a room with somebody, you say, holy mackerel. So those are reasons I can't sleep. So whatever's keeping you awake, it could be any of those things. It could be specifically that, you know, it could be traveling, could be temperature. It could be whatever was slipping on. What did I say? What a word did I slip on? Thus or something. So whatever's keeping me awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is I have a nice, safe place set aside here. Oh boy, goodness gracious, great gobs of a safe place. Do I have, spaced out here? So I have a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Tonight, extra creaky, we got an extra dose of creaky. Creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. And what those means, and just in case you're new, welcome. I'm glad you're here. So creaky dulcet tones is kind of the sound of my voice. It's somewhat soothing, but not totally soothing. And I think, like you say, well, why does that work for some people, Scooch? Why do you think it's creaky dulcet tones? You know, why can't I fall asleep to that dulcet delight show, every single night? Why did I find that one I just couldn't sleep to? I said, well, maybe it's just that it's too smooth. Then your brain says, wow, this, while you're relaxing to those smooth tones of the dulcet delights, let me bring up all this other stuff. Where creaky dulcet tones, they're a little bit more rough around the edges, a little bit more human, if you will. I mean, like on the strong side of fallible. You know, no one ever says that in those movies. They say, well, I like my, I don't think you could call him a hunk, but I like my sleep podcast with a heavy, like a double side of fallible in ability to be barely comprehensible. So that may be why the creaky dulcet tones work. If you're new, you might say, I don't know about these creaky dulcet tones. I say, well, that's what most listeners said the first time they listened. So creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, that's kind of self-explanatory. They're pointed. I mean, they're there with a purpose. I don't know what that means. I would definitely never have any pointed meanders in this podcast or near your bed. I always go with the sleep podcast. Now, a lot of you are younger, so you won't remember this, and you'll laugh at this. Once upon a time, this was right when I became... Like, there was a time, I think in the 80s and maybe the 70s, when they had these things called waterbeds, which you don't think you can even buy them anymore because insurance companies said, finally, they would, like, it was basically, like, you know an aerobed, right? Everybody can, or an air mattress, like the ones that look like a mattress, you fill it up in your living room or your parents' living room when you're visiting them. So imagine that, but it was filled with water. That's like, but then it's in a bed frame, like a regular bed. And very few people had them. Like you'd go over, like you knew when you had a new friend, you'd go over to their house and they'd say, you say, well, what do you want to do? Play with some toys, run around in your yard. And inevitably in the conversation would come up that their parents had a water bed. And the next thing you know, you'd be in there. And it was like sleeping on a wave. I think it was generally considered, I never slept in a waterbed. I've lied in them. You would lie in it, and it would literally have waves. And I think they're associated with, people that would have, like, an open shirt with chest hair and like, a lot of, like a... I don't know, like a 70s vibe thing of like, chitty bang bang, if you know what I mean. I just remember it was just like the most mesmerizing thing to a kid. And now thinking about it in the history of things, you say, well, that was wasn't the strangest things people have done. And I could see for like a Sleep With Me live show, waterbeds would be pretty good, though they're probably heavy and they were known to leak. I think that was the main downfall. One, probably wasn't great for sleeping in the end, except you could warm them up. So you could lie in bed and you could say, warm it up, Chris, if your partner was named Chris or they knew that reference, and they might say, I'm about to. and they would dial it up. Now you could use products like the sponsor we had, Chili Sleep Systems or something, but it was like sleeping on a wave. I don't know what my point is or how that even came up. Really, I have no clue. So I'm just pausing. It was a pointless meander. I said, oh, okay, this is my waterbed thing. I had to explain what a waterbed was. Because I guess the reason I don't have pointed meanders is because I always assume you're listening in waterbed, even though very few people probably are. I mean, the podcast is big enough that I know someone is in a waterbed listening, and I salute you, no doubt about it. And I hope if you have a child and they have friends over, the first thing they do after they say, okay, well, let's go in my room. We can look at my toys for a little while. And they say, well, actually, my parents have a bed that's like, here's another thing I noticed. I don't know if these two things are associated, but people that had water beds always had a maid. So if you lived in a home with a water bed, your parents were also the kind of people that made their bed. So that's interesting as well. I don't know. I don't know if any anthropologist would ever want to work with me on any of these issues. But, one day, I don't know, any outer space systems that are listening into this podcast, start your research on that. It's going to yield results. Okay, so where was I? Pointless meander, superfluous tangents. If you're new, I went off topic pretty early there. So structurally, this is a podcast that has a weird structure. Starts off with business. That's how we keep it free for everybody. Then there's an intro, which is around 12 to 18 minutes long, where I just I start to introduce the podcast and I go off topic. It's just like a wave in a waterbed. You should Google it. Maybe I'll try to put it in the show notes. I really wish if I had a mansion, I would have a waterbed room. And maybe we could just build it on a room with great drainage, or maybe here's another idea, another free idea for businesses that will give me a lifetime of free visits. And this one's a legit good idea. I mean, not like my other ones that I've given away for free. So there's a lot of cabanas or a thing. I've never rented one. I looked at the price of renting a cabana once at a pool, and I said, I'm sorry, what? Like, it's hotel rooms less than that. But I will say, especially if you have the cement and you're at a pool anyway, it would be risky, right? My brain that handles the supervision part said, well, yeah, I don't think you should put any beds in cabana scoots. And I said, why? Then you could sleep in a waterbed. And it said, well, you could. And I said, oh, okay. I'm just thinking of my use at a cabana in a bed. I'd just lie there in the waterbed looking at the water. I don't know. It'd be something unique. Maybe not in those Las Vegas pools. You're right. But maybe at a water park, you could say, yeah, our cabanas, our VIP cabanas have waterbed. Maybe a water lounge. You could just call it a water lounge. And you say, if you have the water lounge in there, you can't close the curtains. So anyway, I guess that's it's just a free idea anyway. If anybody has any free cabana coupons, send them my way, because that would be cool. Okay, so where was I? Oh, structure the show. So there's an intro. Intro, if you're new, it can throw new listeners off because it kind of doesn't go anywhere. People are like, when is the podcast going to start? What are you talking? This is where you ease into bedtime because most beds aren't like a waterbed. I think that was one of the appeals of the waterbed. It's all ease. Like once you're in a waterbed, you know it, and you don't got to get comfortable. You're just comfortable. Until you realize you're on a waterbed, and then probably around minute 10, you're like, how am I going to sleep in here? And then the person says, whatever. So they say, well, I got a bed for sleeping in so this is the cabana bed. Okay. So the intro could just kind of goes, it doesn't go anywhere. It's to help you get ready for bed, ease into bed. Then there's a story. Tonight it'll be a recap of the TV show The Mandalorian, but it'll be really indirect and meandering, and I'll go off topic. So if you haven't seen the show, It might spoil it for you, but I don't think it will, because you won't really remember. You say, what was Scoots talking about? Was he talking about that Jedi robes don't look very, they look like they could be a little scrapey and not comforting? But then he says, Obi-Wan, you know, and they say, maybe he talked about that. Did he compare Jedi robes and bathrobes? And says, what's the difference? And then he said, well, Obi-Wan once said, this is my working robe. That's my robe. And then he said, what is it? Then Scoots made up a joke right in the middle of it. He said, what did Obi-Wan say to Doc Brown when they got to the nudist colony? What did Doc Brown, and then he said, robes? We don't need any robes, or something like that. Where we're going, when they were packing. There you go. I backed my way into that joke. Also, what were Doc Brown and Obi-Wan Kenobi doing together? They're best friends. That was like fan fiction I wrote, where Doc Brown searched the universe for a new best friend, settled on Obi-Wan. Long, long, long ago, galaxy far, far away, Doc Brown can get there. And then he said, well, what would you want to do? He said, well, I'm feeling constricted by the Force and all these rules about being a Jedi and stuff. This was young Obi-Wan. And he said, well, he goes, that Qui-Gon Jinn's like, he's so holy cow. I got a vacay coming up, though, bestie. What do you think we should do? Because I'd like to go see those shopping malls you've been telling me about. And then Doc Brown said, well, no, we're going to go check out this place where you don't wear any clothes. And they said, okay, let me start packing my robes. And he said, robes? Where we're going, you don't need any robes. So that one didn't take too long to figure out. And that's what, so that would be what to expect in the episode coming up one day when I get there. So it's a show to put you to sleep and take your mind off stuff. So it's a little bit different than any other podcast, even sleep podcasts and sleep meditations, because I'm a bit goofy, as clearly you've seen. And so it's kind of more supposed to be like a friend keeping you company as you drift off. Usually I get to, at least I get like a little bit more concise with these intros, but that was an interesting little journey we went on. I mean, I'd like to be on that other journey, except for the column, like, I'd just like to be, I'd like to have, Doc Brown take me to hang with Obi-Wan. So anyway, I guess I'm glad you're here. I work very hard, believe it or not, if you're new, but I really do, because I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning, and I greatly yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
All right, everybody. We're talking about the last episode of the Mandalorian and the latest episode, not the last one. Second to last, actually, of the Mandalorian. It starts with a recap. Code, IG unit, being my crew. Nope. Thanks. Peace out. Kara, a client, large bounty, small package. Okay, Werner. Keep it to yourself. Also playing ball, hide and seek. And then the episode opens. That's my, you know, my quick recap. Let me make sure my subtitles are on here so I can capture some of the dialogue while we go through this. Against the guild code here, Mando's looking at the ball, hide and seek. With the troopers of storms, oh so cute wrapped up, and now the title screens are playing, and then the episode eventually will open here in space. Mando's ship, the Razor Crest, as we you know, I should know, but I always forget. Also, I'm not doing this research, but I said, is it the brand of the ship? That's Razor Crest brand. A ship that can't be detected. Razor Crest. Or is it the name of the ship? Old Razor Crest. It was named after Old Razor Crest, that salty space pirate whose crest on his head was so, you could shave on it. That's why we called him Old Razor Crest. Also was very young, so he looked old. He was one of those beings, a bit like Oso, but different. But it opens in space. Oso's sleeping cute in a new bassinet, I guess it's not a bassinet. I'd like to listen to a podcast, but I guess this is this podcast. A podcast of stuff Oso sleeps in. He gets a message from Grief Cargus. I guess these are one-way messages, like a late-delivered voicemail. Like a video, a FaceTime, but they're not two way. I mean, here's one thing that I just thought of. It would get on my nerves. If you had to send somebody a message, you got to stand up every time, because Grief Cargus is standing up. He'd say, "Oh man, I got to send Mando a message. I'm sitting here on the couch. I know I got to get up and stand in front of the camera." I wish I had that camera bot droid. You know, I got that droid that can do it for me. Especially one with that ring that makes everybody look good, ring light. But he says, "Hey, surprise." He goes, "Son, have I got a little story to tell? What you thought was the leader of your guild is still kicking it. You must be too if you're watching this. A lot has happened. We got some despotic rule going on. And we're really messing stuff up, and we can't get close to him." It's that Werner. "And I got one last commission for you, buddy. Worth your while. You know, you've been successful so far. And in return, you know, you and the child will get to do whatever you want. Here's my proposition. But BAIT, though. We got some loyal guild members ready to help out. Men of honor, or man of, oh no, maybe he says you're a man of honor. He says, go there, check it out. You and the child will be cleared. Oh, for a man of honor, she may not be forced to live in exile. Await your arrival with optimism. He looks at the sleeping Oso. He's thinking, he looks over his shoulder. Oh, he's so cute and sleepy with his orange button. And he thinks for a while, turns his head again, clicks some buttons, makes a decision clearly. And the ship starts moving. The title. Then we get the title after the Razor Crest goes by in space. The Reckoning, Chapter 7. And this is kind of what we've been waiting for. This next, like, a 5 to 10 minute sequence. We see a swamp planet, Razor Crest. Then we cut to the kebab and noodle bar. And Cara Dune is having this ribbon. There must be this new competition. It's like a ribbon dance. You know what ribbon dancing is? It's when you dance with ribbons. Usually they're attached by a stick. And it's a form of dance. Actually, I think it's even in the Olympics as a part of gymnastics. Now, this one takes place in a kebab and noodle bar, so a little bit more gritty. Gritty noodle. Maybe it was noodle dance. Oh. Ribbon noodles. So it's not just ribbon dancing. It's a ribbon noodle dancing dance off where they use the ribbons in a competitive way. So she's doing that against a dude who looks a bit like an ankylosaurus. His crest like a dino. That's what I put originally. Mando and Oso roll in like two swaggerers. They say, give us a couple glow drinks. Heavy on the glow cubes, light on the booze. And they say, what up, Dune? And she says, what up with it? And she says, I'm laying low here. And then the guy she had the ribbon noodle dance off with, she says, come back soon. And he goes, I got this big reward thing. You want to work with me? She goes, no, I can't. Everybody's on the lookout for me. And you can't do it. You got to stay low, just like you said. I got a history. He goes, what about a handsome reward? And I don't mean money, hubba hubba. She goes, what? I'm not in the mood, dude. Get to the point. And I also don't need to deal with any local warlords. He goes, oh, no, it's Imperial. And she says, I'm in. And then we see a map. What does it say? Contact, no, let me. Oh, so she's talking, Karen, she goes, does your contact need to vet me? Amanda goes, no, doesn't know you're coming. She goes, that's going to be a problem. He goes, well, his problem, not mine. Oso likes that line. Then they go down to the work station. He goes, take your pick. Pick one. She goes, is he all right up there alone, like a baby that's always getting into stuff? He says, oh, yeah. Then she says, will you trust your contact? And he goes, no. Then at 7:12, do yourself a gigantic favor and use these time codes, because at 7:12, you're in for a surprise. Right around 7:12. Now it's 7:05, actually. Oh, wow. It goes on for a while. They zoom in. At first, at 7:05, it's in the background. Oso pops Oso's head down to check on the adults and then starts trying to drive the car. Before misbehaving, Oso knows enough to check. So then Oso's trying to drive the ship. And Kara says, do I need to state the obvious? We need somebody to watch him. You know anyone you trust? He goes, yeah. Actually, we just happen to be on our way there anyway. And then we see kind of a desert Badlands planet. Music's playing. We see our favorite beasts of burden. And I'm not talking about the stones. I'm talking about those creatures whose, I'll remember their names in a minute. You see our favorite windmill spinning around like a pinwheel. You look at that windmill and then you found the right farm, the right outpost. again, they say, what up? And old Nolte says, come on in. Now flailing bin. What is that? I don't know what that means. I think it says in it something, a flashing bin. But they go in his house. He says, geez, that thing hasn't grown much. And Mando goes, so it might be a strand cast. He goes, no, not engineered. It's evolved. It's too ugly. He goes, so Cara Dune, though, she could be from the Cyto Caves of someplace, Norvo or something. And he goes, she was a dropper. And he goes, oh, yeah, I was on the other side. Sorry, but I was conscripted, so I had to pay my client's debt. Now I serve no one but myself. And then we have our old favorite IG unit. It says, tea anyone? And everyone gets freaked. Like, what the heck? Mando says, no, this thing's out. And he goes, no, I reprogrammed it. Don't worry. And then we have this very poetic, thing. Let me read some of it because it's a flashback. And he says, geez, in the wake of your visit, it was left behind. And we see, I mean, there's a lot of scavenging to do. Holy moly, you'd make millions. I don't know where those Jawas are right now. But he says, I found it laying where it fell. He kind of cradles it. He says, devoid of all non-big farm. And he goes, I recovered the flotsam and staked it as my own. Really poetic. I really like that. And he starts working on it. Goes, a little remained of its neural harness. Sorry, the reconstruction was quite difficult, but not impossible. Then there's a sequence of the IG unit learning everything from scratch. Something that cannot be taught with a twist of a spanner. Patience, repetition. I wish I had someone to train me like this. Trying to feed the blurgs. So that's what they're called, the blurgs. Day after day, reinforcing its development. I guess this is foreshadowing. Patience and affirmation. So what a good parent. It developed personality as his experiences grew. And eventually he could pour dinner oatmeal for the blurg and move boxes and stuff like that, which was great. And now serve tea. Yeah, so then they have a stare down. He goes, no, it's a protector now. Not a looking for people stuff. Mando and the IG unit stare each other down. And it's silence, and then the IG unit says, T, anyone? Anyone. Then we have an outside sequence with Mando, and Mando goes, geez, I got a situation. The guy goes, well, why else would you come out here? And, duh. And Mando goes, I want to hire you. He goes, I'm retired. And he goes, I can pay you handsomely, Ugnat. And he goes, by the way, I got a name. It's Queel, I think. You're like almost like Quill, but Queel. He goes, I'm not a babysitter. He goes, I'll reprogram the IG unit for babysitting. He goes, why don't you like droids anyway? And he goes, they're not good or bad. They just are natural, neutral reflections of those who imprint them. Mando goes, I don't believe that. He goes, well, do you trust me? He goes, yeah, I guess so. He goes, then you will trust my work. And he goes, this one, he says, IG and I will do it. We'll do it for free because we want to keep it. We like that kid. And he says, none will be free until the old ways are gone forever. So he would join the Khaleesi, man. He's down for breaking the wheel, even though that didn't work out. He goes, also, blurgs are coming. And Mando goes, you got to be kidding me. He goes, yep, I've spoken. Then they're in space, and I guess they decide to feed the blurgs while they're on autopilot and have an arm wrestling match between Cara Dune and Mando while Quill's working. It looks like he's smoking some kind of pipe or something. Like he's pulling tubes, like literally pulling tubes at about 1350. But Baby Oso does not like the arm wrestling and lets Cara Dune know about it with mystical hand stuff. Amanda goes, what are you doing? No, no, no. She's a friend. We were just playing arm wrestling. He goes, Kara's my friend. And she goes, that's not okay. And then Quill goes, curious. And she goes, curious. And he goes, this stuff with the Mudhorn. Now it makes all makes sense. He goes, I've heard about this. He goes, she goes, what, in the Empire? He goes, no, 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 no. He goes, well, when I was put in the Empire, oh, no. He goes, yeah, I'm free because I worked my way to freedom. Maybe you would know what that is. He goes, I worked three human lifetimes. NIG rolls up silently. He doesn't seem to like Kara's tone. I don't know. I was trying to count how many eyes IG unit has. A lot. Amanda goes, how about a nice crib for this baby? Let's change the subject. Could you pad this floating shipping container I have? And he goes, I'll fabricate a better one with my hands, with the skill of one's hands. So he gets use on that. Let's see. Then Karen and Mando are flying. They say, we're going to Navarro. Have you ever been there? Nope. Not a great place, so the city's dug in deep, no cover. And Empire held it till the end of the war. Mando goes, yeah, this dude is no insignia, but he's like, he's some sort of, you know, Imperial warlord, like former officer. Then the IG unit comes, second meal, do you want it here below? Mando goes, not hungry, dude. I guess he speaks for the royal week because Kara doesn't get to eat. Maybe she bailed, though. And he goes, this thing can't go off the ship. He goes, she goes, geez, it's rewired. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't care how much wiring it replaced. It's its nature. And she goes, it's not going to take long. This is going to be easy. Easy and quick. I'm going to go eat with the IG unit, by the way. Bye. Mando sits there solo thinking. Not hungry. Then we see it's the planet. We land. Grief standing there with three guild members. I think one of the dudes with the big helmets. The blurgs get off with the three of them on it, which is impressive. That leaves Grief and his crew speechless. Amanda says, this is the first blurg you saw? I'm a blurg rider now. On a gray blurg, I ride. And by the way, you know, we are kind of wanted. And Grief says, I walk these dirts. He goes, anyway, sorry, man. Sorry about everything getting so complicated. And he goes, introductions are in order, I guess. I thought you were coming by yourself. He goes, but we all got security now. And Grief says, maybe the guild trooper should stay back since she's got tattoos, anti-Empire tattoos, and they look at their hackles up. And Amanda says, not a choice, dude. So Grief says, oh, man, fine. Cover it up, though. And he goes, where's the baby? You want to say hi? Baby loves me. And Mando actually introduces Grief to Oso with a floating, new floating pram. NFP, new floating pram. And he goes, holy cow, this kid is cute. Oh, so cute. Wow, now I see what the fuss is about. Precious little creature, he says. Arms open, quiet, fine. Little one, all the fuss. Glad we'll put this matter to rest. The sun drops fast on Navarro, by the way. So let's get through this lava and walk over to our campsite. And they use the lava to keep their fire warm, which is very intelligent. And a lot of staring down. Babies, Oso's getting fed. And let's see what else. We see some of the other, we see this as, you know, the countryside of this planet has beings on it. I'm surprised they would have such a big dinner, like they have a giant, like it's like they're celebrating even though they're not. But they're all gathered around working. Feed Oso, like I said, they're kicked back. Actually, grief's in parlay position at 2012. Goes that little biker. He goes, that must be for some highfalutin menagerie. And Amanda goes, what's the plan again? He goes, go in, show him the baby, and get out. So that's it, ABC. And Amanda goes, how many? He goes, oh, X-Empire, 4. You know, they're just paid workers. They'll take off. And what if they don't? Well, he goes, I'm their best bet for a new employment, so hopefully they're smart. No more than 4, trust me. And then we have these birds come, and it turns out that Blurg and birds don't get along, which we didn't know. And a couple of the guild members, they have a bird objection. So two Blurgs go out. Mando almost went out. Oso ends up fine. Grief ends up, he got something in his eye, and he says, I don't know, man. And Oso rolls up. First, Kara tries to fix it. Then she's like, I don't got enough light or whatever. So then baby Oso rolls up and says, well, boozity, boozity, boo. And I fixed it just for you. But at first, there's a little comic relief because Grief says, he's trying to eat me. But he uses the old ET touch. Also, I saw an old iPod there. I don't know if it was on Oso's bassinet or on Grief. Then Oso has to rest. And everyone's like, oh, that didn't go good. Then the next morning comes, and we do some walking and talking. After all that, Grief's like, can you believe it? There was something in my eye, and that kid did a googly googly goo, and it came out, all the way out. And let's see, slow walking, one blur, got a 3 left. Still got the floating pram, though. They say, I don't know what's going on. Mando says, keep eyes on it, Kara. Walking, talking, second thought. So that's what Mando says, or she says. They walk to the edge, overlooking the town. And Grief says, I guess this is it. And it's a double cross time, but now it's triple cross. Because Grief triple crosses the double crossers. I don't know where Blurg is in Queel. And he goes, you got a new plan. We were going to double cross you. I realized that, you know, but I triple crossed, so I'm back on your side. And so he goes, cover up your stripes. We'll still go into town. We still got to deal with this. They go, geez, no, we should get out of here. And then Queel says, no, let him speak. He goes, you bring the kid in. We still do this plan. You know, you'll be free. Otherwise, you're going to be getting tracked down by the Empire the whole time. You got to deal with this now. So there's a face down. Oso's watching. And he goes, okay, yeah, just pretend you caught me. Karis works for you. And he goes, we'll do a little fake Rooney. So he says, hey, yeah, let's pretend we caught you and the child. But Mando says, he goes, no, we got to bring the kid. Mando goes, no way, I got a plan. He goes, Queel, you take the kid, seal yourself in the ship, engage ground security protocols. Nothing can get in. And here's the comm link, you know, it's still chapstick thing. And he says, let's do this thing. He says, goodbye. And they get ready, a couple prep shots, everybody getting ready, holding the baby. And they head off. He pats the baby's back. We got an empty crib, but it's sealed up, which is hilarious. We watch Oso watch them go bye-bye. And then we go into town. We see the arch that we've seen before. Then we see some speeder bike troopers. And they're kind of bossy. They demand Grief's chain code. It took two scans to get it to work. He goes, "How about that helmet?" And Grief goes, "No, going on my wall, on your wall." Mando says, he says, "Okay." Then we see, we also see Grief riding, or Queel riding back to the ship. Let's see, right now they're scanning his chain code. They had to scan it twice to get it to work. He goes, "This scanner's not quite up to date." He says, "Yeah." Now he's handing his chain code back to him. They start rolling out again. They got to go through town with the floating pram. Getting lots of looks from everybody. And Kara says, "What about, I thought you said there'd be four people here." And he goes, "Yeah, with inside. And I didn't mean outside." He goes, "This is, you know." And she goes, slip Mando his stuff. He goes, "Maybe later." And she's kind of glaring at him. Mando looks at the pram. And now we see the blurred again, Queel and Oso riding back to the ship. And then they roll into the Werner's office. We see the four troopers, which Grief brags on. Four troopers, see? And Werner stands, "Oh, great. Good to see you. New armor, eh?" Grief's like, "As promised, I got this dude here." And, you know, Werner says, "Nice craftsmanship on this armor of yours. Beautiful Beskar, forged by ancestral artisans, and elaborate use of alliteration twice. Excellent alliteration." He goes, "How about a libation, man? Old Grief." And he goes, "Hit me, boss." So then they go and sit down. And then they say, okay, and then more troops come in. And then we get a speech from the old warlord, old Werner. Goes, "Man, don't you realize the Empire is so great? Improves every system by every metric. Wealth of wealthy people. Prosperity of prosperous. Trade with trading people. Opportunities for the people that have the opportunities. Clean houses for those with cleaning crews." Goes, "Isn't that better than this revolution thing?" He goes, it's cleaner. Goes, "Look at all this dust, even on these stormtroopers. They're not shiny." And then this part was hilarious, but it was so hilarious that you could lean into it. He goes, "Let me see the baby." Grief goes, "He's asleep." And then I think it was just this one line made it work. He goes, "I'd like to see the baby." Grief goes, "He's asleep, dude." And he goes, "Oh, we'll be quiet." And then he goes, "Oh, boy." And he says, "Open the pram, by the way. I'm not a sucker." And he just happens to get a call right then, which really works out. So he gets a call, goes, "Excuse me. Let me see what he says. I don't mean to be rude. I got to take this call, though. It's my boss." Then Mando gets ready for his move. There's actually a salt and pepper shaker on the bar, I think. A grinder. Grief goes, "You got one chance." And Kara says, "There's way more troopers than we expected." He goes, "What can I tell you? Nobody's perfect, right?" Yeah, let's see. Currently sleeping. Oh, then the boss who, you know, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Get Moff Gideon. Says, "Where's the baby?" He goes, "Currently sleeping, I think." Then we see this one thing that, was strange, I guess, when you think about the value, but I mean, maybe they had some precision, something going on. They take out a Werner and his crew. Moff Gideon does the Empire like a total bust or something. But he leaves Kara, Grief, and Mando and the baby. And so they get ready. They say, "What just happened? Was that a double cross?" I mean, that's what I thought at first. Then we see these stormtroopers in black. I don't know exactly what you call those. Serious troopers. Then a transport pulls up with a ton more stormtroopers. They get off. they're clean. They have shiny, they're like, Kara's like, you got to be kidding me. So then all of them are gathered. So it's like a no, like so outnumbered, like 80 to 1, maybe even 100, well, maybe like 60 to 1. And then Mando, classic mistake, he goes, Quill, you at the ship? You taking that slow-moving blurg there? Get out of here. Get on the ship and go. Of course, they have the phone stopped. So the speeder bike troopers hop on their bikes and take off. And then we have a ticking clock, a quick one, quickly ticking. So we have the showdown. We have them cornered and trying to figure out what's next. Then we have an X-Wing, TIE fighter come in, and it does some fancy landing moves. Oh boy, is it fancy, the landing moves. Then we have the race to the ship. The wings fold on it. That's what I mean, the fancy landing wings. Even kicks up so much dirt, grief carcass coughs. Then we have Blurg and Quill trying to get back to the ship. They're almost there, of course. Oh, of course. And then we have the roof of the TIE fighter opening slowly. Oh, that's when you say, holy, Pollo Yoko, Loco. And he's got kind of like a Vader outfit going. I don't know if that's what all moths wear. And a cloak and a glare that we haven't seen since, what, season 5. He goes, you have something I want. And they go, who is this guy? And you might have think you know what you're doing, but you don't. You don't even know who you're messing with. And Mando goes, are you back at the ship? They're on to us. Then we see another sequence of the chase going on. And he goes, I already got you. He goes, the baby is going to be mine. Then we have another chase segment. You say, is he going to make it? Very tension. Mando calling. The door going down. And he says, this means more to me than you'll ever know. This baby Oso. Mando gives one more quick thing back, and then we realize it didn't. Well, at first you think maybe there's one other thing, but if you really watch like 5 or 6 times, you realize the speeder bikers ended up catching up and saying, hey, don't you want to ride on a speeder bike, Oso? We have, and then Oso says, I guess I'll try it. And Quill and the Blurg, they decide to take a break. They say, we'll go visit the big farm because we want to see those other two Blurgs that went with the birds to the big farm. And you'll ever know. Quill out. Then there's Mist. Then there's, what does that say? Cliffhanger. Oh, the episodes. I said, what's a cliffhanger? It was a cliffhanger of an episode. Then there was about, I think there's either 13 or 14 paintings at the end. So there was that. And, let's go ahead and look up some stuff that came up in the episode. All right. So a couple of things came up. One thing was at the beginning. I think Grief Carcass says, yeah, I'm still not at the big farm in the sky. Which reminded me of the Pearl Jam song, I'm Still Not at the Big Farm in the Sky, also known as Alive, which I guess, I don't know if that's old, like, if I don't know if that's considered oldies or not, I'm not kidding either, but it was a song by the American band Pearl Jam on their debut album 10, which came out in 1991, so I guess it's not 20, was that 2001? Oh, it's not quite 30 years ago, but holy. Alive was originally an instrumental called The Dollar Short. Was on a demo tape where they were looking for a lead singer. Eddie Vedder got a copy of the tape, wrote lyrics that kind of described a fictionalized account of his childhood and his relationship with his father. It charted at number 16 in the UK, number 9 in Australia. It was the only Pearl Jam song to receive a certification from the British phonographic industry, going silver, 200,000 copies, top 20 in Belgium, Ireland, Netherlands, and New Zealand. single is only available through import in the U.S., so it didn't chart in the U.S. There's remixed versions. So Stone Gossard wrote the music for the song while he was still a member of Mother Love Bone. And he said Andrew Wood sang it for a little while. And then Gossard and Jeff Ament started working with Mike McCready. They were trying to form a new band, and that was one of five tracks on their demo tape. Eddie Vedder started listening. He was working as a petroleum guy for a petroleum company in San Diego. And he said he listened to it, and then he went surfing. And then saw the lyrics, recorded it, sent it back. Then they invited him to join the band. Then at first they were called Mookie Blaylock, was the name of the band. And they recorded it live during a demo session at London Bridge Studio. It would later appear on their debut album, 10, and the promotional live EP. It's in A minor. Let's see what else. It's a trilogy of songs, like about Vedder, mini opera, Alive Once in Footsteps, about complicated stuff. Let's see. It even came out in a Coca-Cola pop music sampler in 1991. And yeah, so then there was a video directed by John Taft. It was a black and white video of a performance from Seattle. Some of it's even, the drumming is actually the clip from the video rather than from the record version, which didn't even include their current drummer or the drummer at the time the song was recorded. And yeah, so it's a little bit about a link to it. It just made me think, because he says, I'm still alive. He says, a man of honor, which made me think of the Game of Thrones episode, A Man Without Honor. And I said, what was that, in season one, season two? I looked it up, it was season two. Holy dyslexia. I said, what was it, in season two, season three? So here's a little insight into my life. I've been, for the past couple hours, I was so confused because I looked it up, but then I, what do you call it, transposed the numbers. So I thought it was episode 7, season 2. And I said, really, that's, how many seasons were there at Game of Thrones? I thought there was only 7 or 8. There must be like 10. Because, you know, this is an early season. And I was like, wait, Talissa, Rob, Rose, or Agreet, and Mom, everybody's in this episode, and like Tywin. So I was really mixed up. So I guess it's not a relief, because then I said, wow, I must have forgot a lot about those first seasons. That'll be great when I rewatch it. But now, so a little bit of a relief and a letdown. So second season, the 7th episode of the second season, which makes sense because it leads up to the conclusion. It causes the conclusion of the second season. The name of the episode comes from Caitlin Stark saying, "You're a man without honor," to Jamie. It's written by Benioff and Weiss, directed by David Nutter. Came out before the podcast existed, Sleep With Me, at least, May 13, 2012. So it was at the conclusion of this season that I thought about starting to record the podcast based on this series, this season, but I didn't do it. Wait, what month was it? So it was like a late spring. So it takes place in a couple of different places. King's Landing, Sansa's living, like married to Joffrey. So that's not great. Oh, no, no, wait, she's not married to Joffrey yet, but she's engaged to Joffrey, I guess. Stannis' fleet is headed towards King's Landing. Jon's beyond the wall. He's hanging with Agreet. Then they get caught by the wildlings at Harrenhal. Arya's undercover with Tywin. Sir Gregor's still Sir Gregor. In the West, Jamie's been caught by Rob. Jamie gets out, gets re-caught. I guess at some point Caitlin lets him go, I think. Maybe not in this episode, though. Danny's in Karth. Let's see, Sir Jorah. This is when they have to deal with the wizards. And there's a lot of, and it's, there's a whole thing. Danny overcomes the wizards, basically, and then they get out of there. In Winterfell, Osha, Bran, Rickon, and Hordor, they take off, and they ditch Theon, who's really embarrassed, and Theon even fakes that they didn't lose them. It was watched by 3.69 American households when it first came out, and then about almost a million in the UK on Sky Atlantic. It was second highest rated broadcast in the UK that week. Oh, that channel, Sky Atlantic, is a 92% on Rotten Tomato. So this is a good episode. I like that title, Man Without Honor. Now, this episode is called Reckoning, which reminded me of this definitely is an oldies, I guess, at this point, an REM album called Reckoning. That came out in 84. I probably didn't get into it, listening to it, maybe not even till the aughts. Really has some really good songs on it. It was the second album by REM. It was recorded in North Carolina. It tried to capture the sound of REM's live performances. Used binaural recording on some tracks. Let's see. It was after their debut album was critically acclaimed. They started working on their second album. They were writing a lot. They were going through a streak. Peter Buck said they were writing two good songs a week. But the recording sessions were difficult for the lead singer, who was worn out by the previous tour. So they were having trouble getting usable vocal tracks. A couple of songs. Let's look at the songs, because those are review scores. End of Reckoning. I guess they made a movie about it. I was just trying to see if I could see packaging. So I'll link to this article from Wikipedia. But side one has, there's South Central Rain. But then I love these two songs. I love Pretty Persuasion and Don't Go Back to Rockville. I really like both those songs a lot. Just in case you're wondering. Those are two REM songs. And I know they had way more popular and probably better written songs. But those are two songs that I really can listen to. That one, and then what's the one, Boxcars Are Turning? That has another title. But those three songs, Pretty Persuasion, Don't Go Back to Rockville. So definitely listen to those. Check those out. Okay, how about Ankylosaurus? This is from LiveScience.com. Article from May 10th, 2017 by Joseph Castro. Five facts about the Ankylosaurus. So let's get these five facts. Are they buried in the article? Well, Ankylosaurus lived on low-lying plants. It had a big tail. It might have been flat and triangular, but it particularly in movies is like a club-like. And it was armored, massive knobs and plates known as ostroderms. Could only go 6 miles an hour. I think a couple other things. It's called that just because it was like a tank. It means fused lizard in Greek because its bones and skulls and other parts were fused, making it extremely rugged. Lived in the late Cretaceous period, 65.5 million to 66.8 million, and roamed to the western United States and Alberta, Canada. They did downsize it a bit as they've been analyzing stuff. The largest one was 25.5 feet long and 5.6 feet wide. And it could have weighed up to 4 metric tons covered in armor. So that was another one. Here's another thing to check out. I'll just, it's Custer State Park. That's, it's on the edge of the Badlands. And I'll just link to it. It does have 1,500 free roaming bison. And then it's near Wind Cave, Mount Rushmore, Jewel Cave, Crazy Horse National Monument, and Badlands National Park. So, and that's a, but it's a South Dakota State Park. It, if you're looking for a great combination, like 2 days, if you're, especially if you're driving, that area is just amazing, or longer, you know. Okay, how about some words for the SAT for those students? Devoid, D-E-V-O-I-D, devoid. It's from the obsolete, and it means empty, having none of, completely without. That's an adjective. As a verb, to empty out or remove, devoid. Oh, wow, anagrams they have in here. Vadi, voided. Devoid and voided are anagrams. That's good to know. I'll never remember that. That's devoid. Flotsam. Flotsam actually comes up as flotsam and jetsam. Flotsam, though, is spelled F-L-O-T-S-A-M. Flotsam. It's the remains of a ship floating, or stuff that's been discharged from a boat on the ocean or the sea. In space, it could be, you know, anything, I guess. A collection of items or fragments of little importance or considered to be of little worth. Dregs, I guess, is a synonym, according to that. So it's flotsam and jetsam. Then Star-Lord, I'll just link to that, because his name is Peter Quill, not Quail. But that's a fictional superhero, a Marvel Comics. First appeared at Marvel Preview number 4 in 1976. He becomes an interplanetary policeman, according to this, Mantle of Star-Lord. And, you know, is famous now because of Guardians of the Galaxy, and portrayed by Chris Pratt. So definitely worth checking out. But yeah, been around since the 70s. Maybe that's why he likes the music in the movies. Let's see, his abilities. He's a human Spartoid hybrid. Enhanced strength, durability, longevity. He has an advanced suit. He's a master tactician and commander, except in the movies. Good at hand-to-hand combat, martial artist. Use of technology, flight via jet boots, and a helmet that, you know, does a lot of stuff. So that's Peter Quill, not Quail. Quail, I think. And then finally, Hackles. That's another word you might be able to use. H-A-C-K-L-E-S, Hackles. According to Wikipedia, the reptile plumage in the hair or hair in the neck area of some birds and mammals, the Hackles. So the hair on the back of your neck, that's a hackle. And they stand up when you're having a, you know, a response. Raised hackles. You've raised my hackles. Okay, and then I'm going to turn it over really quick to Wendy Marshtrap. Hey, everybody. This is Wendy Marshtrap. I'm here with my Dewey Dewback. My Dewback Dewey, sorry about that. And I wanted to talk to you tonight just about ice planets. This season opened on an ice planet, and Hoth is another famous ice planet. And I just wanted to give you a couple facts from Wikipedia about ice planets in case you're planning on visiting one in the future. I don't know why you would, unless you have a lot of stuff. Ice planets are a theoretical exoplanet with an icy surface of volatiles, water, ammonia, or methane. Planets consist of a global cryosphere. And it could be small icy worlds of a solar system or moons, or Europa, Triton, dwarf planets like Pluto or Eris, or smaller solar system bodies. They usually are composed of, it could be carbon monoxide or other volatiles, depending on the surface temperature. Ice planets would have surface temperatures below 260 degrees Kelvin, negative 13 degrees Celsius if composed of water, 180 degrees Kelvin if CO2, and ammonia would be 80 degrees Kelvin, which is a negative 193 degrees Celsius, if methane. On the surface, they don't seem very hospitable to life on Earth because they're cold. But a lot of them have subsurface oceans. It could be warmed by internal heat or tidal forces from another nearby body that could be habitable. Humans could bring stuff like on Hoth or the beginning of this episode or on your earthly poles. Oh, let's just look here. Ice planets and science fiction. There's been the Hoth in The Empire Strikes Back, Gethin in The Left Hand of Darkness, Ficina in Star Fox, the Ancient Mesa in F-Zero, and let's see what else. Then there's also lava planets, which we've seen in the Mustafar, but also Navarro, Solar and Star Fox, Firefield and F-Zero, Pyronite and Ben 10, Excalibur and Star Trek. Those are silicon beings. There's ocean planets. There's a lot of stuff. Ocean planets. We saw an ocean planet. Oh, no, that was a moon. That was Endor. Oh, no, that was a moon of Endor, correct? Anyway, folks, this is Wendy Marstrap saying, if you visit an ice planet, bring a coat, please, and a lot more than that. From Dewey Nye, good night.
All right, I want to thank everybody that supported the show on Patreon recently. Aaron, Nick, and Connie, thanks, and good night. Virginia, Ty, and Jesse, thank you, thanks, and good night. Montana, Mika, and Valerie, thanks, and good night. Christine, Nia, and Naomi, thank you, thanks, and good night. Hazel, Leon, and Katie, thanks, and good night. Pampus, Layla, and Anatoly, thank you, thanks, and good night. Chris, Teresa, and Joanna, thank you, thanks, and good night. Karen, Abby, and Nolan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Martha, Chris, and Alicia, thanks, and good night. Renee, Jesse, and Blaine, thank you, thanks, and good night. Shannon, Magpie, and Karen with a Y, thanks, and good night. Sarah, Shibben, and Aaron, thank you, thanks, and good night. David, Tiffany, and Seth, thank you, thanks, and good night. Stephanie, Rachel, and Allison, thank you, thanks, and good night. Vincent, Olivia, and Paul, thanks, and good night. Mark, Sarah, and Aaliyah, thanks, and good night. And John, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody who supports the show. The podcast exists as a free podcast. Can people support the show or support the sponsors, buy our merch? Thank you, everybody who does that. And we grow as a podcast because people that just spread the word naturally if it comes up or bring, say, hey, well, this is a podcast I use, or this is my experience with it, and you show them how. And here's a podcast from Night Vale Presents I want you to know about. Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.